Welcome to the Inner Side. My name is Scooter, and it's been a tradition here at the radio program to have Jesus on the air every Easter, taking your phone calls, answering your prayers, and so on. Regular listeners have heard Jesus right here on KPFT many times around the holidays and know that he is currently resurrected as friend of the show and personal savior, Troy Conrad, who does comedy in the Los Angeles area. Often heard on KPFK, Pacifica Radio out there. He decided to do comedy this time around instead of getting involved in politics and rebellion, which, as you know, can end badly, if you know the story behind this holiday. But we couldn't get him on this year. He's at the American Atheist Convention. The guy has some real father issues. Instead, I'm going to see what I can resurrect from some previous Easter programs, and we'll go on from there. This is from 2005.
Ba 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 we're lambs. 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 You gotta pop a lamb to know him.
My name is Raymond, a.k.a. the son of Scooter, welcoming you to the Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston, for Free Radio Santa Cruz, hi Bob, radioforall.net, island, community, and micro-powered radio stations worldwide, for as long as we could get away with it. Happy Easter, everyone! So, Dad, where's the eggs?
Ray, you have to wait till Sunday when the Easter Bunny comes and he
Don't
hides all the eggs.
Don't give me that pagan bunny crap. Just hand over the
it's
eggs.
It's not that easy. You have to hunt for them, Ray. You have to wait
don't
till Sunday.
Don't toy with you, radio has-been. And don't sucker me with that Easter Bunny disinformation.
Jesus.
I'll call her Tooth Fairy. And she'll rip your throat out in your sleep.
The joke's on you, Ray. The Tooth Fairy's a guy. Everybody knows that.
Hand over the eggs. I am not kidding.
All right, look. If you calm down, I'll give you a premature egg, and then we can move forward, okay?
If you stop saying moving forward, I'll stop saying kiss my furry...
All right. Oh, it's a deal. Here's your egg.
What's this supposed to be?
It's an Easter egg.
For what century? I didn't ask for some coagulated chicken pellet with a cheesy paint job. I want a real Easter egg, not just this chicken turd in a basket. I want a breakaway plastic thing full of high-tech corporate sugar products. You're making a mockery out of this holiday.
Well,
get your Easter Bunny to announce the show. If you can find him, I'm out of here.
Well, that didn't work out too well.
I'd like to welcome a very special guest now from the original Ray's Original Roman Pizza, Ray.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, Ray. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Ray, as an ancient Roman, we're really interested in your perspective on this. Some people compare America in terms of its power and wealth as being unprecedented in world history, except for the Roman Empire. Do you see any comparisons between the American Empire and the Roman Empire?
There's no comparison. The Roman Empire, by far, was much more exciting and vibrant a place to live in. It was a fabulous place. With gold-encrusted building, it was wonderful. Today, what do we have? Except for this beautiful pizzeria, located on Christopher Street. This fabulous place, everything else, nothing.
Well, there's New York City, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Chicago. These are great cities with lots of culture and...
Don't get me wrong, they're very nice. But the ancient Rome, what?
More marble.
We're talking classic. Okay?
Moving on to some other contemporary issues in the movies this week is The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's new film, stirring a lot of controversy. Have you gotten a chance to get out and see it yet?
You know, I had the real thing. I remember in the Appian Way, we used to have them lined up into the sunset. It was wonderful. I mean, impressive. What do I want to go see a movie with three guys getting crucified for? I mean, this Jesus Christ, the Jewish fellow.
Sure, he was the Jewish.
What did he do?
Well, he led people in, I guess you could say, a spiritual revolt.
Oh, a rebellious kid. Yeah, well, you know, that'll happen to you. But, I mean, I don't understand the blood. We used to tie him up there, leave him, go home, have a good lunch, take a nap, come back and watch till sunset. And they died, believe me. We didn't have to beat him up or cut him or make him bleed. It was none of that mess. It was very picturesque the way we did it.
There are critics still of The Passion of the Christ who say that it's inflaming anti-Semitism, which some fear is on the rise all around the world.
I don't understand.
Okay.
Jesus is a Jewish fellow, right?
Yes.
Well, now how does beating up a Jewish fellow inflame anti-Semitism? I mean, you know, don't people feel sorry for this poor guy?
Well, I think...
God, I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do they say it's inflaming anti-Semitism?
Well, I think the whole idea of what Christ was doing was to invoke compassion.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still those who blame the Jews, being the Jewish priests, who sent him off to be executed by the Romans for his execution.
So they're saying the Jewish priests were behind all of this?
That seems to be how it's depicted in the
film.
What,
and the poor innocent Roman soldiers, they were, you know, they were just doing what the Jewish priests said, right? Yeah, come on, get out of here.
You don't believe
that? Look, the Romans that I know didn't need encouragement to crucify anybody. They were out there working at it every day. They didn't need to be encouraged by Jewish priests. They were dedicated.
They were dedicated.
And that was Dan Hearn and Joe Randazza performing Ray's original Roman Pizzeria, performed on the CCCP Easter special in 2005. And I think it's a really interesting piece, and it refers to Mel Gibson's deicidal, homoerotic S&M snuff porn splatter, The Passion, which had just been released. This was a movie version of a barbaric medieval ritual called The Passion Play, which was usually performed between Lent and Easter. It was an Easter thing.
That's right.
Yeah. And passion plays have an onerous property of anti-Semitism. This is what they weren't making that up, you know.
Mel Gibson was an anti-Semite? Who
can
knew?
You imagine?
Yeah.
Wow. Stop the press.
Yeah, who knew? It took that movie to come out for people to realize that?
Well, it speaks to what his problem was with the Jewish establishment and the film industry, which is a real thing, you know. So he's trying to make a movie of this lie, you know, in this event that has had a history of genocide, pogrom. I mean, people used to go to watch these passion plays, drink a bunch of wine, and then go kill a bunch of Jews.
Right.
You know? That's medieval stuff. So he's wondering why they're not, like, on board with it, you know. And they, Jews, you killed my Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to go beat my wife.
Jews get blamed for everything. You know, as a non-practicing Jew, I haven't practiced in about 30 years, but okay.
And it takes practice.
It does take practice. But, you know, I've never understood why people are upset, regardless of who killed Christ, given the fact that he rose 3 days later and became the Lord's Savior.
And that was the original idea for the coming. Right, yeah. To die for your sin. How do you,
right.
You know, that completed the whole
process. Right, exactly. Right. They did him a favor. He died for your sins.
That's what he was, yeah.
And let's face it, doesn't it sound more majestic if he died upon a cross with his followers all around and he rose from the dead than he died, I don't know, on the bathroom like Elvis or died of old age?
Or a drug overdose, that would have been awesome. Yeah.
Or he got stabbed to death.
Or got caught with a male hooker.
He hung out with hookers.
A bag of meth.
I've never understood that.
Anyway, passion plays historically have unleashed tyrants of hatred against Jews. And they were depicted in these passion plays as being in league with the devil. But and we don't know a whole lot about, you know, other than what's written in the Bible and these religious scriptures, about that part of the world, because it was such a short slice of history, you know. And it was a real backwater, you know. This was Roman times, for Christ's sake, you know. And but we did one thing we do know about is Romans. Romans may not have invented crucifixion, but that was their trademark. I mean, they trademarked that.
Right.
If you're walking down the street back then and some guy is hanging on a cross, it says one thing: don't piss off the Romans.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's their trademark. Yeah. And of course, Jewish, that's not, Jewish didn't.
That's our style.
No, you're stoners.
Mm-hmm.
They're stoners. Yeah. You throw stones at people. That's their method of death. So if you're crucified, you have pissed off the Romans, right? And actually, if the Jews wanted to kill Jesus for heresy or whatever, they didn't have to ask the Romans. I mean, the Romans don't give a crap. The fact that he's on a cross just proves the Romans did it.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And there are things that, you know, if you believe some of the stuff that's written about Jesus, that he said, that would definitely get you crucified.
But, you know, the fact that about the Jewish priests pressuring the Romans to crucify Jesus and do all this stuff, it feeds into that long-held belief that Jews are... get other people to do the dirty work for them, and they're always the puppet masters behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been a theme that's played out all the way through till today.
That's great. The Jews were the puppet masters behind the Romans. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even though the Romans could have crushed the Jews at any point, just like they did with
Jesus.
Which
they did.
Exactly.
Yeah, about every, you know, 10 years or so.
Right.
You go in and, you know, decimate them, and you know, just to teach them a lesson. They just do that for the hell of it. And but by the way, back when Jesus was allegedly running around. Oh yeah, no, I was going to say one thing that would get you crucified that he said is written in the Bible. The coin thing, you know, when he said, when they were talking about the picture of Caesar on that, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God. I forget the exact quote, but essentially that's a revolutionary concept right there,
right.
Because he's saying no, that don't participate in their economy. It's like a boycott thing. No. You know, we'll hold to our traditions and we'll let them. But the way that Romans subjugated people was to take over the money system. So that was a revolutionary thing. Just right there would get you crucified.
Right.
If you got over it. So there's plenty of reasons why the Romans might have done him, even if the guy existed. You know?
Right.
Of course, back then, you couldn't swing a leper without running into some kind of a new Messiah.
Right.
When the Romans showed up, it was the freaking end of the world. I mean, that was the end of the world. When the Romans show up, it's pretty close to the end of the world, you know, for anybody. You know,
right.
Because they were nasty.
Yeah, they're going to conquer you.
Yeah. And that sort of a cataclysmic event in a culture, people are going to revert to all the supernatural stuff.
And, right.
And all of these religions, including Christianity at the time, all these little offshoots and cults were all apocalyptic. It was all, this is the end of the world. This is going to happen in your lifetime. God is going to come down and save us all from these Romans.
He's going to send his son, believe in his son.
I am the son.
Right.
Yeah,
and when
yeah.
the world comes to an end, which is any moment, you'll be
in your lifetime.
Right.
In your lifetime. It's said right in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So this cult, you know, kind of hung around. But it lasted. It's a pretty tenacious cult because they invented this living in heaven forever, which is a nice little hook. It's led about 300 years as a cult, and in the Middle East, and of course they're importing slaves into Rome and stuff like that. So it was kind of getting around, you know. And about 300 years, this Constantine's, you know, they decided to legalize Christianity, and then not too long after, they decided to make it the state religion. And it's actually a pretty good religion to adopt for a warrior culture. Because, hey, you know, get out there and get slash and burn. And, hey, you know, you're fighting for God. And, you know, if you die, you live forever.
Well, you know,
a nice little hook. Well, anyway, as it's kind of written by the Romans, was that it came through Constantine. And he was actually raised by probably a Christian
nanny.
Well,
the Catholic Church taught me that.
He was probably, I'm going to talk about it. Romans here. And that they, he was probably raised by a Christian slave or something, this Constantine guy. He was out, you know, dad was a general or something. But anyway, he ends up making not only Christianity legal, but then the official religion of the state. And like I say, if I was going to pick a religion, it would be for the state when you want people to go out and die and kill and stuff. Christianity be right up on
that. Let me ask you this.
What?
As... not an authority on Jesus, but Jesus was born in the manger and the three wise men came and so on and so forth. I mean, that's the story we're told.
Yeah.
How do you explain why at least a significant number, or I mean a number, of people really did follow this guy and really did believe that he was the Son of God. Why did Christianity take hold when those other religions didn't?
Because the Romans adopted it. Period. You know, I mean, the Romans hadn't adopted it. You wouldn't even know. There's no
so
way that Romans, religion would still be.
So the Romans
had
not
adopted it.
So had the Romans nowhere. Not crucified Christ, had the Romans not crucified Christ, and had a hand in his crucifixion, you're hypothesizing that Christianity would have never taken hold if the Romans, which was the largest empire in the world, didn't adopt it soon thereafter. Is that what you're saying?
300 years after. Right. No, no, there's no way. No, there's no way. That would still just be a little cult. Let me get to my point, though. My point is that now you're running the Roman Empire, right? You've decided you like this religion. This would be a good way to control for mind control, or you believe it, or whatever for whatever reasons.
Right.
You've now adopted this for Rome. Okay, what is the first thing you're going to have to change? You cannot adopt a religion where you are the person who killed God. What are you going to do?
Blame the Jews.
Blame the Jews, right? So, I mean, it's obvious. You cannot... I mean, that is a huge disconnect. You're going to say, we killed God, and we are great, you know? So they... And right after that, they had all these little councils where they started throwing away and burning parts of the Bible that other people had written that didn't agree with this stuff, and basically just, you know, rewrote everything in order to put their version of history that made them look like at least they were just on the side, you know?
Right.
And not the bad guy. So this is the original incentive for the Jews did it, blame the Jews thing. And this is probably one of the biggest and most tragic lies in history. I mean, just think of all the crap that has come down that you could trace back to this lie.
Sure.
That the Romans had to tell in order to adopt this religion. I mean, you can't. They couldn't have done it without.
Right.
Right. So anyway, all right, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Scooter.
Resident Jew. Oh, by the way, so this Easter show is dedicated to all my Jewish friends.
Thank you, Scooter.
Yeah, well, the Christians, you know, the Romans, and those Italians, you can't trust the Italians.
That's right.
And, let's see.
After lunch today, I intend to hold a press conference dressed as Jesus.
Oh, well, you know, this is Try to Act Like Jesus Week, by the way. There's a contest, who can act the most like Jesus. Today is easy, ride in on a donkey. Now, it doesn't actually have to be a donkey. If you happen to own a donkey, it's easy. There's no problem. You can ride in anywhere you want. You can ride from your living room to your dining room. You've ridden in on a donkey. Now, metaphorically, you could just put on some roller skates or something, or take a little ride in your car. I don't care. And that's the same thing as riding in a donkey.
What about your tricycle?
All right. If you have a tricycle, you might borrow one of the kids' tricycles and get on that. And that'll even... Well, I think... What is the point of riding in on a donkey, by the way? Is that to not to act like a king or something, but more like a humble person riding in on
a
donkey.
What was his choice? A chariot?
I don't know. He went to rent a horse, and they said, sorry, we're out of horses, but we got this donkey. I don't know the truth, but I bet somebody does, and they're
then
really having a hard time holding their temper. Now, tomorrow is rough in the How to Act Like Jesus contest. Uh-huh. You have to clear the temple, challenge authority in the temple, and teach in stories and confront the Jewish leaders. This could be a very rough day for you, because this happens to be your religion, if you're pretending to be Jesus. So you're confronting your own... leaders and your own authorities and your religion, and you're clearing the temple, which I believe means turning over some tables and yelling at people for selling stuff in your church.
Is that the thieves in the temple motif?
Act like an activist day tomorrow.
What? Uh-huh.
Thieves in the temple, yes.
Go ahead. This is not my religion.
Well, yes, it is, but it's a cult of your religion, and that's why you don't know anything about it.
No, I just...
Jewish cult called whatever they call it.
I just eat the matzah. I don't have very much to do with the basics. Go ahead. Keep going. The week is long.
Well, that Monday is so rough, you really would like to relax, but you can't. Tuesday... The Greeks, the so-called non-Jews, ask to see Jesus. Jesus teaches on the Mount of Olives without having a martini, and Judas agrees to betray Jesus. He makes a deal, in other words. And then Wednesday, I have here, the Bible says nothing about Wednesday. He probably remained in Bethany, just outside Jerusalem, where they were staying for the festival. What was that, by the way? Anyway, and with his disciples... Or he may have visited the temple again. I bet he was welcome back there. There's the guy that turned over the tables. Whoa, my
it could God. Have been International Working Women's Day.
Well, yeah, they did work.
Okay, go on with Thursday there.
Well, I'm so exhausted. Oh, well, it's not even up to Thursday. Look, if anyone can get up to Wednesday, I think you're entitled to dream up what you want to do on Wednesday. And then I would say on Thursday, try not to... the Last Supper's okay. That's on Thursday. But then try to calm down and don't go running around and... and doing something with your disciples. And, well, you can go upstairs and talk to them in the upper room. That is the next thing. And then pray in the garden. Okay, but don't call attention to the Roman soldiers that you're there doing this. But and then he hangs around, and what ends? Oh, of course, he had this friend who betrayed him, but and then he's questioned by the authorities. This is a busy day, and then Friday is even busier. He's tried and flogged and mocked and all this stuff. I think Mel Gibson made a movie about it. So it's a rough week, but I think if you want to act like Jesus for the contest, then there will be a winner, which will be a joke gift, which is so valuable that everyone would like to have it. I will determine the winner on Wednesday, because I don't want anyone to have to go through Thursday and Friday. I don't know.
As you seem to be.
Well, I'm not really a scholar. I told you they forced me to go to that Santa Claus church I went to, and they told me these stories, and I didn't believe them then.
Uh-huh.
I barely believe them now. Except I do believe there was a dinner, because I know people like to get together
it's
and have a dinner.
It's called the Seder. I know about that one.
All right,
like
see?
I said,
right, so.
I investigated.
Take off. Now it's your turn.
The matzah meal and the matzah.
Uh-huh.
And I know... The Garden of Gethsemane. Now, had he ever been there before? Or was that the
first
trip to the garden? And that is where the arrest takes place, right?
Yeah.
And are we listening to the Rite of Spring?
Not anymore. We were.
Oh.
But now we're listening to some...
Very disturbing, isn't it?
Well, this is... I'm trying to update...
Stravinsky.
Stravinsky. Oh,
yeah.
I guess you're a big Stravinsky fan.
Well, no, I enjoyed it, but I found it extremely troubling, as if, you know, as if things were breaking out on my skin. It's stormy, the birth of spring, put it that way. It is.
It is. You could wake up with...
controversial, stormy,
itchy.
Well, let us introduce the guest then. Okay. Since the guest has way more information about this than I
and,
do.
And also, just before the guest jumps in there, I'm going to point out that as you were just mentioning about the Sabbath, here it says in the timeline, Saturday, nothing happens. That's because it is the Sabbath.
Okay.
So you kill all Jesus right. on Friday, the Romans, not you. Sorry, I mean you.
Yeah.
And then we kill Jesus on Friday, and then on Saturday, nothing happens because it's a day off. All right, go on. Now an introduction.
Not for Jesus, it isn't.
What?
Not for Jesus.
Now Jesus is having a magical experience here, apparently, according to the... we don't want to get too heavy into the religion,
right?
Or we'll be blamed for believing it.
How can you say we'll be blamed now? What about all the other stuff you said?
That'll be blamed for. They knocked my head off when I was in the sixth grade.
I'm not part
of
this.
I'm telling you, they did not like me when I was an atheist when I was in the sixth grade, and they don't like me any better now when they hear about it. They just control themselves a little better. Most of them. All right.
Who are you talking about right
My schoolmates, which I never see anymore.
Oh.
And I hope I don't. Bunch of crud balls. All right, and now on with the show.
Okay.
As long as I'm ad-libbing, it's who I never see anymore, or whom, maybe whom
now,
I never
whom
see.
Whom I never
eats,
see.
Eats shoots and leaves. Where's my gunshot sound?
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Introducing the Jesus Christ action figure with walk-on-water action.
I'm Jesus, King of the Jews.
You're not the King of the Jews.
Watch out, Jesus. It's a trap.
Crucify him.
Ugh.
Jesus Christ.
Take that.
From his grave. Now I'm a believer. Not a slave.
When it comes to Bush... Big time, major league bullshit. You have to stand in awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you.
Hey, Mr. Christian, the Romans try to push us around. We're too busy praying to put anybody down. We're just trying to win it. Our numbers growing every day. Got the power.
I was over in Australia during Easter, which was interesting. Interesting to note, they celebrate Easter the same way we do, commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus by telling our children a giant bunny rabbit left chocolate eggs in the night. Now, I wonder why we're fucked up as a race. Anybody got any clues out there? Or where do you get this shit from, you know? Why those two things, you know? Why not goldfish left Lincoln Logs in your sock drawer, you know? And as long as we're making shit up, go hog wild, you know? At least a goldfish with a Lincoln Log on its back going across your floor to your sock drawer has a miraculous connotation to it. Mummy, I woke up today and there was a Lincoln Log in my sock drawer. That's the story of Jesus. Who comes up with this shit? I've read the Bible. I can't find the word bunny or chocolate anywhere in that book. Christianity's the weird one, though, you know. Christianity's such an odd religion, you know. I was raised that way, you know, and you can just suffer for it. You know, the whole image is that, you know, eternal suffering awaits anyone who questions God's infinite love. That's the message, isn't it, that we're brought with. Believe or die. Thank you, forgiving Lord, for all those options. Ago, two of my friends and I went to a ranch in Fredericksburg, Texas, and took what Terrence McKenna calls a heroic dose, 5 dried grams. Wow. And I'm glad they're against the law. Because you know what happened when I took them? I laid in a field of green grass for 4 hours going, my God, I love everything. The heavens parted, God looked down and rained gifts of forgiveness onto my being, healing me on every level, psychically, physically, emotionally. And I realized our true nature is spirit, not body, that we are eternal beings, and God's love is unconditional, and there's nothing we can ever do to change that. It is only our illusion that we are separate from God or that we are alone. In fact, the reality is we are one with God and He loves us. Now, if that isn't a hazard to this country, you see my point. How are we going to keep building nuclear weapons? You know what I mean? What's going to happen to the arms industry when we realize we're all one? It's going to fuck up the economy. The economy that's fake anyway. Which would be a real bummer, you know. You can see why the government's cracking down.
We heard Glenn Urbach live in the studio for the Blame the Jews segment. Janet Coleman and David Dozer explained the Act Like Jesus Week contest. Classic George Carlin and Bill Hicks followed. This has been the Innerside Radio Do Not Pass Over Go Easter special. Google Innerside for previous programs. My name is Scooter, wishing you happy Lincoln Logs, and I'll see y'all next week.